week on the Koshcast, Manchester City slaps Spurs to bits, Liverpool hit back at their critics, somewhere an old man probably criticises analytics, has Lukaku found his stride, Moyes has definitely hit his, and even old Roy is doing the business. In Italy, the Udinese has come out for Inter as they finally lose a game, AC Milan lose again, and Napoli regain top spot before it's over to Spain. Atleti get another 1-0 win, Valencia do what one does to gin, bottle it, and Paulinho keeps Barcelona's wheels on the spin. All this, and Mumu of the Week in which Mr. Griezmann helps with love. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at _thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex, Mahanan is here.
Hello.
Directing traffic.
Yes.
Roche is here.
I am here, being traffic.
You are and in buoyant mood.
Buoyant, yes, in some ways, yes.
Okay. In other ways, no?
In other ways, I might be slightly less buoyant.
In a sinking mood.
But you know what? I'm quite buoyant. Yeah, that's good. All right. Yeah.
All right. Okay, he's averagely buoyant. Wow. Bernie, how are you?
Good. I take public transit.
That's how he is.
Welcome, man. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Nice. Toronto FC, our local club.
Yes. Are the champions of MLS.
Yeah, champions of MLS.
The best team in the world.
The treble.
Should we all get like little, I don't know, would you get a star sewn into the kit, right, if you win?
Yeah.
Should we all get them sewn into our work shirts or anything?
Absolutely not.
Could also get a tattoo.
Ah.
You could.
I mean, no.
I mean, it's never going to happen again.
Of the treble. Every single cup that they won, get a tattoo like Clattenburg.
I would get a tattoo of Josie in the sunglasses being absolutely hammered delivering that speech. Because his face
was hammered or was he high?
I mean, multiple things. Probably.
Now, where would you get this tattoo?
I literally have no
King
idea.
Street, Queen Street.
No, as in where on your body?
Oh! I always like Cantona's chest tattoo.
I think calf is nice. Because you can cover it for work, but you can show it when you play football.
Conquer calf.
Hey.
I don't know, maybe just a big neck tattoo.
Wow.
Like
wow.
Edison.
Right. For fellas.
Maybe
right.
Back, because you're wearing a shirt at work as well.
Sure, but when are you showing it on your back? Like only at the beach, maybe?
When you score goals, you take off your shirt.
No one does
card.
That.
Yeah, then you get a yellow card.
Yeah.
And then you get a second one for how bad the tattoo is.
All right, well, if anyone actually thinks that any of us should get a tattoo, let us know.
And we will do it.
Tell us who and where, and I'll be interested
to see
that.
That could escalate really quickly.
Hey, man, let it happen.
What you do for the listens.
Exactly.
I'm down.
It's all about interactions.
That's true.
Anyway, Toronto FC, they won everything, and then promptly, like, the next day...
Big downer.
Raheem Edwards got traded to Montreal via LA.
Yep, our new favorite player on TFC. Alex and I shared this bond over the season where we talked about Raheem Edwards almost every week.
I think Mohamed too.
Yes.
Yeah, we all loved him, and now he's gone.
Bernie,
and
what Bernie were you doing?
Well. Bernie was not having any of it.
I didn't care.
Bernie had no time to appreciate Raheem Edwards.
I think it's just the fact that he was a young guy coming through, you know, a Toronto native, etc., etc., and he looked really good. He did lose his spot in the team towards the end of the season, which is okay, because, you know, young players are supposed to be bled in slowly, and he did really well, but unfortunately when you can only secure 11 players, you pretty much go with your starting 11, and maybe one or two that aren't, but it's such a weird system in MLS when a new team, a new franchise comes in, they can just pick players off every other team.
Well, it's not only that LAFC ended up picking Raheem Edwards, it's that LAFC then traded him to Montreal, so now he's our direct rivals up to 401.
Not only a direct rival, he now plays... Yes, I mean, people are arguing he'll get way more game time, and that is true. He'll start in Montreal. But the thing is, A, Montreal are a bad team, and B, the club treats their players like shit, which is demonstrated by this trade because...
Laurent Simon.
Lived in Montreal, wanted to stay in Montreal because has an autistic son and needed the healthcare. Club didn't give a shit, sent him to LA where, you know, the opposite applies.
I think the fact that he's in Montreal makes it, I don't know if it's harder or easier, but I just feel like he's closer to Toronto and that he could move back eventually if Toronto are really, because I think they should be excited about him and they should want to have him back. But I also feel just geographically, I think he would be slightly relieved to not having to move, you know, across the continent.
He would be.
So at least he's still close to home. He could technically still kind of live in Toronto a little bit if he wants. Like, it's doable. I just always think about North American sports in general and how fast people get traded across the country. You just move, boom, done. Literally overnight. And it's a bit weird.
He also has access to some good facilities in Quebec.
Yes.
Are we talking about those facilities?
Maple syrup.
Possibly. Those are also there.
Oh, maple syrup.
Yes, facilities? Those facilities are definitely better in Quebec than in Ontario.
Yeah.
It's closer to Bruce Grobbelaar as well.
That is true. That is true. Ooh, heard a cheeky... No, never mind.
Drew Moore?
Nothing. Hmm. Yes, Drew Moore. Drew Moore re-signed with Toronto FC.
They didn't... Did they protect him? Can't remember.
No. But he was a free agent as well. So he could have gone elsewhere, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think that makes sense. Keep him around.
No one thought he was... No, I mean, he's a good player and solid, but I don't think he becomes the crux of the team next season. So, yeah, good squad player to have, I think.
And the leadership as well.
Absolutely.
And his wife is great on Twitter. Or through his account. I mean, she leaves him a little message and stuff. He tweets it. It's cute.
Well, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was... Yeah, I know.
Fair enough. All right.
Anyways.
Hopefully there'll be more of that next season.
Yeah, wow. Bernie's Bernie's second cousin twice removed. Also signed for...
Yeah, I can't claim him because he's Yoruba, but we're close enough.
I knew he was Yoruba because his name is similar to Akin Fenwa.
Who are we talking about, boys?
Ayo Akinola.
Thank you.
Yes,
Toronto FC have signed everyone him. Toronto FC have signed him as a homegrown player. Apparently, he is very highly rated and had a trial with PSV and stuff.
Why are you pointing at Bernie like he will give you the scoop Nigerian on this?
I mean, I read about this yesterday, so that's the inside scoop I have.
And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people haven't read about it. Anything that kind of came out from their readings? Interesting?
No, just that he's a homegrown talent. And that's it.
Where does he play?
What do you mean?
As in, positionally on the field.
He's a forward through the middle or wide. And he went to the final... Well, did they win the Under-17s World Cup, USA? Or get to the final?
That's a very good question.
Either way, he went very far in the
England won Under-17 World
Cup. So the States did well, though.
I don't remember how they did.
Anyway, he was there.
Speaking of Under-17 talent, Alfonso Davies, did we talk about that?
And God,
his trial in Manchester United?
We didn't talk about that.
Okay. Well, that's the thing.
Okay, well, apparently Vancouver have actually said no. They won't let him go.
On trial or just go?
They said it's too early to let him go on trial to United right now. They're like, no, he needs a year or two more here. And then we're not against it in the future.
Yeah.
Well, that's his career gone.
Perhaps. Speaking of Manchester United, let's talk about the team from the same city that is much better than them. So a lot of teams lately have sat deep, set up their blockades, and tried to make City,
do something.
Pass through them, little intricate passes, whatever. And they've lasted, 70 minutes or so until City inevitably get the winner. Spurs thought, sod it. Let's just go for it and see what happens. And the result was exactly the same.
Yeah, they were good for about 70 minutes or so, and then they got smashed.
Even though they kept City at bay for a while, I still felt that this was probably one of City's best performances all season. They looked just so assured, and it's one of those where it's inevitable that they will score a goal. Yeah. And then when the first one comes, that's it. The gates just open, and they did not have David Silva, who for some personal reason had to drop out, the day before the game. He was their best player for three games going into this one. Gundogan came in and did just absolutely fine, scored a goal. They have, Delph at left back, Mangala at center back. They can play Aguero up top. They can play Jesus up top. It's, again, Pep has a system that, obviously, you're not playing all Brighton, but it doesn't really matter who the players are. As long as they're a certain caliber that can perform what he wants, they will be just fine.
Absolutely. And there was a point I made midweek about this I said, Pep could do this at Newcastle.
No.
Right.
However, well, obviously that was exaggerated. But I do want to highlight the importance of Kevin De Bruyne this season. Because in this game against Tottenham, I saw him come with fire, passion, hunger into every tackle, pass and absolutely dominate.
He does everything too. He doesn't just tippy-tappy. Like that goal, I think, I can't remember which goal, but one of the goals, I think, where he gave it to, the second or third one, he took the ball off Dembele, shrugged two players off with like kind of pace and power, dribbled another, played the perfect ball to Gundogan, who slipped it beautifully to Sané, then who played it to Sterling. So he's not just this flair number 10. He does the center midfield work brilliantly as well.
I would suggest that I don't recall seeing as complete a player as Kevin De Bruyne. I think Pogba runs him somewhat close, but he's not there yet. Maybe in a couple of years. I mean, that is the
in terms
age
of
difference.
A full package.
The full package. There is nothing he can't do.
I can agree. The thing about this game is, If you look at it, Spurs, despite their what, two wins in a row before, they've not been good.
They haven't looked good
in this decent in this particular stretch.
No,
The Arsenal game was proof of that, and they knocked over some terrible teams in Stoke, and I can't remember who they beat the game before, prior.
Brighton,
right? Okay. So, realistically, we felt that City were going to win this game, and if you look at the Arsenal form from that Tottenham showed, the 4-1 was about accurate. Right. But then again, Dele Alli tried to absolutely murder Kevin De Bruyne. It just made him mad.
Dele's just frustrated with life
right now. Dele Alli, nothing is going Harry right. Kane, they both should have seen red cards. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get criticized by the media because they're the English boys who are...
No, Dele Alli has been heavily criticized.
He has not enough... He's done this all season long. He hasn't had a good season at all. You know, I don't know. I just feel that he is frustrated, but it's no excuse for what he did, what Kane did. If both of those players had their foot planted on the ground stronger than that, Sterling and De Bruyne could have both walked away with
Pogba. Pogba got sent off at Arsenal for...
Less.
Sure.
Yep.
They were bad tackles. But for example, Alan Shearer went in pretty hard on Dele Alli on Match of the Day.
Right. People go in on Dele Alli. It's just, I think there are a lot of people who are saying, not for his attitude. I think people go in fairly on him for his attitude, but it's the form that he hasn't been incredibly criticized
for. One game against Madrid and nothing else all season. But... to be fair, people expected Spurs to be one of the teams that maybe would give City the hardest time. And to be fair, up to 70th, 60th, 70th minute, they still looked vulnerable. And it was inevitable. But people had a bit more faith in the kind of the style of Pochettino that he would be able to thwart City a little bit. But eventually, City always find a way through.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a fair kind of... it's a fair expectation. Pochettino's record against Pep Guardiola, both at Espanyol and... with Spurs has actually been very good relative to other managers.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean Spurs are disappointing. What I would say is though, they are missing some serious players. Like Wanyama, who was one of the best midfielders in the league last season, has barely played. Well, he hasn't played at all this season.
Alderweireld's
out till February, it sounds like.
And
which
by the
is
way,
huge.
If you've seen the history of Spurs, whenever he doesn't play, they don't play well.
Wow. What history, man? Yeah.
Wow. All
right. aside from this barb. Alex, please continue.
Davinson Sanchez was the last one I was going to say. He's still suspended and has
a
the pace
card.
To deal with.
Yeah.
So, they were disappointing. But in the way that Pochettino was talking about it before the game, he was basically, well, they're amazing and we're going to have a go and we'll see what happens. And City, so there was, as you said, there was an inevitability about this. Spurs kind of felt like they were going to get smashed. City kind of felt like they were going to smash them. That's what happened.
Well, I just want to, add on to that. We're comparing the two teams. I want to say where they're going to go from here. I think City... 17 wins, one draw. They can only go down from here. But we are running out of teams.
Can they go unbeaten?
I'm not going to say that yet because we still got half a season to go. But Spurs from here, I think they can only go up because they have players that are out. They have the January transfer window coming up, and they have a lot of games to play in the season. They're only going
to
go up.
I still think their squad is way too thin to cope with Champions League, the Cups, the League,
ooh,
altogether Spurs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But on the Man City front... the one thing about them being able to go down that I find interesting is this season compared to last season, obviously he's got rid of the Deadwood and all that good stuff, but he's also had a very good time in terms of injuries. Last season, a lot of players were in and out of the team for injuries. Maybe it was adopting to the system. I have no idea. But he hasn't had to deal with Kevin De Bruyne being injured for an extended period of time. Sané, Sterling, Aguero is playing injured but still playing. Jesus, same thing. The defense doesn't matter because the way they defend is by having the ball. Which, if you look at Van Gaal at Manchester United with subpar defenders, best defense in the league, if you have the ball, it doesn't matter how terrible at defending your defenders actually are. And that's what we're seeing here. But they still are able to use the same players all the time, and that's beneficial.
And Pep says he wants to buy a centre-back in January.
Well, because he's proactive.
Yeah.
Which is, but the other thing is, speaking of the defense, behind him they have Ederson, who has had a quietly impressive season. I know people always talk about his distribution, and he pinged one this game, which was I don't think De Bruyne could have pinged it like that. Like,
it was spectacular.
It was. But he also makes some really, really good saves that people focus a lot on the whole footwork, but he makes some actually incredible saves.
There was one from Kane that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like it because of the kind of way the game was going, but no one would have expected that from most keepers.
We talked a lot, I think it was yesterday or sometime on our Under the Cosh Facebook thread about who could, if City lose, who and when they would lose. I brought up the point about when February, I think, comes along and they have the knockout stages of the Champions League, FA Cup is in the latter stages, etc. I think there's a game here or there where Pep might tinker one too many, and eventually I don't lose to a random corner at the end of a game. Bernie, you thought Liverpool is really the chance, but I know because Liverpool are exciting in the attack, and but what about on the other end? I think City will score four past them.
Sure, but well, actually, hold on. I generally would agree with you,
right?
But Liverpool's defensive record has been very good in the last 10, 12 games or so. Like, I think
they're unbeaten
in terms of the last 12 games. They have the best clean sheet record or something like that. So maybe they're doing something right. I don't know. When they face City, we'll see. But then again, the reason I say that is because despite losing 5-0 when Mane was sent off for assaulting Ederson, they're the only team I've seen this season that scared Man City. And I mean, literally, Otamendi was relieved when Mane was gone. And Salah can actually wreck them.
Yeah.
So if they're able to keep 11 men on the field with the way that they play, I think they can give score three at Man City. And
right.
Then can Man City score four?
Yeah, you know, I have to agree in some part to that because it does depend on the ebb and the flow of the game. Liverpool need a few things going for them. They all have to click into place. But they could. They could challenge Man City. And we're running out of other teams that could.
Also, sorry, before I ask. The other thing is, I think they're more similar than people think in terms of Coutinho plays in the middle, right? He's not playing in that
front. Not anymore, yeah.
He played on the left this weekend.
Well, but because Klopp is doing a rotation.
And he also played Ox, who won Man of the Match, so we'll get to that. Yeah.
Klopp is doing his rotation policy to keep everybody fresh.
Yeah.
Against Man City, he has to play all of them, and Coutinho will be deeper, which is very similar to what KDB does. I think they match up very
well. You know what? Let's just talk about Liverpool since we're here. Unless you had a point, Alex.
My shout for the team that is going to beat Manchester City is Big Sam's Everton.
I think it's going to be some random small team.
They did take a point of them already.
They took a point. I mean, it was under Koeman, but they did it. But the thing is that Big Sam loves absolutely nothing more than beating a foreign manager.
he voted it. Brexit.
Also, 100%. I saw this brilliant tweet by an Everton fan that got like a gazillion retweets saying, imagine losing to City. Brilliant. Let's talk about Liverpool since we discussed them a bit. We talked about their attacking prowess and how good they've looked. And to be fair, a lot of the games that they've looked really strong as well, did not have all three of Firmino, Mo Salah, and Mane. Like, this game, they beat Bournemouth 4-0 away from home. Mane didn't even play. Salah is starting to do that Robin thing, where everybody knows what you're about to do, but you do it anyways, where he just cuts in, takes you on the outside, cuts in, puts it in the far corner. He did it three times where he missed, and then the fourth time, bam.
Yeah.
And he's looked phenomenal so far.
Yeah, Salah's in the form of his life. Not sure if he can do this for the whole season, kind of like Man City's form. But you know what? If he does, I'll be like, yeah, that's good.
I mean, it's him and De Bruyne right now for player of the season, I think.
There's nothing to suggest that he can't. I would also say, from a Bournemouth perspective, once Lovren scores, you might as well pack up and go home. Forget it, man.
Yeah.
Like, but did you see how happy he looked? Because he's taken some beatings. He looked like a little child.
Yes.
He was so
it's
happy.
It's been a very bad time.
Okay. Yeah.
On Bournemouth, I have to say they were slightly unlucky not to get back in the game at 2-0 when Defoe actually had a really good chance, one-on-one, hit the post.
Yes, it was a good finish, to be fair, but
it's almost as if he's not actually that good.
Yeah, almost, right?
Wow. Well,
almost.
But it's just, if you also, like, on the other side of it, if you look at the goals that Bournemouth conceded, they're just trash. Like Philippe Coutinho literally...
Yeah.
Walked down the field and no one came at him and then scuffed the ball in. Salah, as good of a goal that was, what kind of crap was that?
Yeah.
They like you said, they watched him go onto his left foot from an impossible angle. He's at the corner flag basically and then decides to do a circle.
Well,
like, unbelievable.
Thank God there are no Liverpool fans on this pod because they would have said they saw some great goals.
No, I agree.
I'm not saying it was good skill, but Bournemouth were trash.
I will back Richey up on that because... As an Arsenal fan, you look at that and you go, well, that was so easy. Salah just ran past three players and scored. Then Coutinho just ran past it. I know if we were playing Bournemouth that day, I would not have seen that on TV. So I give them that credit.
It doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Also, don't underestimate that Coutinho finish. He cut it back across, which was not the thing that everyone was expecting. So that was good. But Bournemouth, again, have been... absolutely terrible this season. You're right, the defending is horrendous. It's been a problem since they got promoted. They kind of get by by scoring enough goals. What do you think of Eddie Howe? Because I find him very difficult to assess. He obviously did a brilliant job getting them there. He's obviously done well to keep them there for a couple of seasons, but we seem to have hit a wall here.
Absolutely. And just a few days ago, we were talking about English managers and who's, you know, the up-and-comers. And we have Eddie Howe, and we have... the other guy, his name escapes me right now. It's okay, we'll go. Daesh. That's right. So how clearly has, dipped in form a little bit? I think he'll come back. I think Bournemouth will be fine this season. They're not going anywhere.
When you're managing a smaller team, you will always have those dips. It's very hard, even if you're a very good manager, to keep them constantly over a season at that top level.
I just think if they do the Premier League thing and sack Eddie Howe, they will get relegated. Whoever comes in will not... Eddie Howe is this club. If you think about it, he really bleeds Bournemouth. You bring someone in, doesn't understand it, they're going to go down and spiral continuously.
You're thinking of Swansea.
No, because they managed to survive when they sacked a manager.
Yeah, just about.
A few other things about Liverpool before we move on. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I don't know why he got the Man of the Match award. That was very weak. It was weird because I watched the game and I felt... Oh, he didn't have the best of games. Bournemouth were really there for the taking. He should have dominated more. He should have scored the goal above. And then later, everybody's praising his performance. He got a Man of the Match award. Fine.
I thought Firmino was Man of the Match.
I thought a few other players were ahead of him. But
Ox got the assist for Salah. He passed it to him, and Salah beat three players and scored.
True. He also got...
Did he pass to Coutinho as well?
I don't know.
I'd be impressed.
But he did intercept for Coutinho in that press... interview after the game where the guy was kept asking Coutinho about his future at Liverpool, and Ox kind of stepped in and said, hey, look, he's being professional, leave him alone, blah, 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 well done.
Liverpool had a good game. They had 4 goals. They could have had 6 because they hit the post twice. Ox hit the post once.
Yeah.
I would have given the Man of the Match to Salah.
But I guess Salah or Firmino, I guess.
You have to share the love around.
You have to share the love.
Yeah.
Let's move on to United. They played West Brom away, and this was tight. This was very tight. United started the game by going 2-0 up.
Mm. Guys, why was this so tight?
Nothing happened. I don't even know what tight means in this situation. Nothing happened.
Well, towards the end of the game, it got dicey. It was 2-1. United started to
penalty shout.
Waste some time. De Gea went, Jones like kind of whispered to De Gea, go down, blah, blah, blah. Like you guys were holding on. I think, what's his name? That guy that moved to West Brom, he had a header. Rodriguez. He had a header that he could have put in the corner. There was the last tussle at the end where kind of Gareth Barry and De Gea. I just felt it got really dicey towards the end.
You've seen.
Dodging.
Sorry, I don't know who that was. It was a demon.
Batman.
We've seen this United performance many times. I'm so reluctant to even talk about the performance in this game. At the end of the day, they got 3 points. All the United fans are unhappy at what they see. It's suffocating.
It's just, you have to put it in its right context. If your manager tells you, all right, go up and then defend what we have, how is the other team not... I don't care if the team is freaking Brighton. Like, they're going to come at you if you decide to let them do that, which is exactly what that tactic does.
But that's what frustrates United fans. Yes. Why is that the tactic?
Yeah, I don't care for that.
In your average game, that tactic is annoying if you're Manchester United. When you're playing West Brom, it's more annoying. When you're playing Alan Pardew's West Brom, it's even more annoying. And when you're playing Alan Pardew's West Brom, who haven't won a game in 16 games.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's
and then Lukaku decides to step up against the smaller, really bad teams. I'm still waiting to see him kind of perform against the big team. I know he has good performances, but stats at the end of them. Get those goals against the bigger teams. And
have you seen the stat?
What is
of
it?
No other player has more goals and assists in the Premier League. Only one has more. That's Salah.
Against combine who? Against what? Two? Top six?
No, but even the big games, he has assisted goals when he hasn't scored them. So this is not to defend his goal record because it's terrible. But Lukaku, like we said, is putting in the performances, is bringing the team into play more so than he has, than other people have given him credit for. But I 100% agree with you. In this game, Lukaku needs service. If the service is not coming in, nothing is going to happen for him. He's not that kind of guy that's going to take the game by scruff of the neck. Ashley Young, Mata, Rashford, those guys have to do him a favor.
If not,
nothing's going to happen.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to back Bernie up on that last point about service. I think in the bigger games, we've seen United sit back and do nothing. And therefore, there's no service for Lukaku. So it's really hard to isolate him and say it's all his fault that there's no goals.
Shouldn't Mkhitaryan be that guy? I mean, that was a plan, at least. I mean, now he's frozen out of the team. But the plan was for Mkhitaryan to be that creative force, to give that service. But for some reason, it didn't work out.
It did in the beginning. And then whatever happened, I don't know what happened to him. Now he's completely frozen out. 7 out of the last 8 squads, he hasn't even made the squad.
So
that is personal. That's not form.
Yeah.
That is now very personal.
If United comes second to the City team in the league, I mean, how do you, regardless of performances, I think you could kind of say that's a successful season, no?
Well, it really depends on how things play out, obviously. But I do think that Mkhitaryan still has a role to play as the season goes on. A lot of competitions, you know, cup competitions are still to start. FA Cup, Champions League still going on. EFL Cup, or the Carabao Cup, or whatever it's called this season.
Yeah.
That's still
there
to be
played. I'm sorry, I disagree in that if I'm Henrik Mkhitaryan and I'm treated the way I've been treated by Jose Mourinho, obviously we have to take a surface level what we know, right? Which is, he hasn't made the squads. I will demand to leave the club because he came in and was treated like shit, won his way back and played superbly, started off well, now he played like crap, and now he's basically being sent to the dogs. At that point, I would be saying, this guy is disrespecting me and I want out. So I don't see a future for Mkhitaryan at all.
Not to mention, even when he does play well, he's playing in a team that doesn't play to his strengths. He's not playing football that he likes.
Yeah.
It's just, I agree. I don't think it's worth it.
You want Mkhitaryan to be the first defender.
You know who needs
him? That makes sense.
Dortmund.
Yeah, back.
Just do the Dortmund thing.
They just won two games in a row.
Yeah. Send Kagawa to United, get him back. Yeah. Send Mkhitaryan to United, get him back. Be like, you know what? Go.
Yeah. Götze.
Yeah.
Came back.
Yeah. Go see if the grass is greener.
Yeah.
We're right here.
They should start loaning players to United.
Yeah.
For experience.
Feeder club.
Yeah. That's what this is. They're just not saying it.
All right. So for the rest of the league, let's talk about Arsenal. Arsenal were home to Newcastle.
Sorry, I saw the note over here, and the first bullet point says, Arsenal are shit.
Followed by Newcastle are shit. Yeah, both
this
teams...
This was rubbish.
Yeah.
This was so bad.
I actually, me and my brother watching this together, and we were just having conversations. We were talking about like what we're going to do for the weekend. I've never been so uninterested in Arsenal.
Oh, that's not true. A couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The last 2 years.
What? Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, he was saying they would win the league.
That's true, actually.
To be fair, I did say, we're going to get maximum points from West Ham, United, Southampton, Newcastle. Is that so unrealistic?
How is that fair? How is that fair?
That's maximum points.
Maximum
points.
You're going to get 3 points from this game, to be fair.
So, my brother has actually been broken. Like, yeah. He's actually saying, we had a conversation during the game. He literally, the words were, I can't believe what I'm seeing on the screen.
Well, okay, so for context, how old is he and what was the first year he started?
So his first year watching Arsenal was 07-08, which was right after the Champions League loss. So the first game was kind of towards the Champions League final.
Mm.
So he has not seen anything positive from Arsenal, and he blames me daily for bringing him in.
Because he followed you.
Yes. And he just broke on the week. He's just like, I can't believe what I'm seeing on the screen. We have no tactics. We have no plan. Everybody's playing central. Xhaka, Wilshere, Ozil, Sanchez, Maitland-Niles, Bellerin. Everybody's in the same spot on the field. We have no width. We just have nothing. We were fundamentally bored watching this Arsenal game.
But is it that it looks bad?
Or it
is
looks
it
horrendous.
Like bad and looks amateur, or like you're not entertaining.
The plan is
everything.
Pass it to a guy in red. Literally. That's it, Bernie. You cannot, like, you can try and squeeze a plan out of what you're seeing. You cannot.
It is astonishing. How shit Arsenal are. I mean, the ball pops around. We know what's going to happen before it happens.
Oh,
and so the
minutes.
Opposition, who have watched 15 videos of us, know exactly what is going to happen. The ball goes out to Bellerin. It comes back to whoever passed it to him. It goes back across, ends up at Nacho Monreal. He,
yeah,
like, waves his arms around because no one's moving. Then it goes into Xhaka. He loses it. The opposition counters.
Okay, let's have a happy moment, though. Ozil scored a great goal.
Ozil has been Arsenal man of the match for a month now. 4 games in a row, he's been man of the matches for all 4.
Even the ones that you lost?
He was the best against United, he was the best against Spurs, and the few after that. He's been having a really, I think he's going to win, you know, player of the month for us. He's been
our
really,
new contract.
Well, there's rumors of the new contract.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for
but
a second.
But the goal was
because
was
nothing
great
in this game, right? So let's talk about Ozil and his contract. So, strong rumors are that he will sign with Arsenal.
Arsenal fans always felt that Ozil would kind of stay.
So from last season, a lot of fans, I would say most fans, said, Ozil can get the hell out of here, let's keep Sanchez. Now the opposite is happening, where people are saying, get rid of Sanchez, don't want anything to do with him, let's keep Ozil. Now, my question isn't about which one should you keep. Forget that. Keep one of the other, who cares. But if you're Ozil, would you do it? Would you stay at Arsenal?
I am extremely troubled by this for two reasons. One is, Mesut Ozil, a big part of him coming was Arsene Wenger.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of him staying might be Arsene Wenger. Not into that. The other thing is, where is his ambition?
That's what I'm thinking.
Why? There is not one good reason that Mesut Ozil should stay at Arsenal.
He can't stay at
There's
Arsenal.
There's a few reasons. There's a few reasons. One, he's already won a lot. Keep that in mind.
What are you talking about?
He's already won La Liga. World Cups, etc. I'm just saying. He's also making... He's going to be making a lot of money.
He can make that anywhere.
He's also living in London. He loves London. He talks about London so much in terms of he just loves living in it. He likes the Premier League, etc., etc. So, yes, there are other human aspects to this that are not just football related. Because if it is football related, yes, you will go to Bayern Munich.
So let's dissect that a little bit. Is there another club that has shown strong, I mean, strong interest in Mesut Ozil?
We don't know. But we would assume the United rumors. We would assume Bayern Munich.
But just to counter your points there, the London thing, yeah, he probably loves it. It doesn't mean he has to, you know, if you go somewhere else in Europe, you can be in London in a couple of hours. You can keep your house. You can go somewhere else for 2 or 3 years and come back and live in London for the rest of your life.
Maybe go to Paris.
Barca rumors too.
This is the last big contract that Mesut Ozil will sign. This is his last chance to play for a club that actually harbors ambitions of winning anything.
Yeah.
That's it.
And at Real Madrid, they did well, but they, let's call it underachieved because they faced off against the best team in the world at the time. So he's been at Arsenal for 4 years?
Yeah,
4 years and one...
Which is why his contract's running out.
Right. And won FA Cups, fine, but he's not been a world beater during that time.
But I mean,
this is a chance for him to have a fresh start, get back to the Mesut Ozil that the world knew as the best number 10, and win a Champions League, which he has not won yet.
Sure, but not every player has that ambition. It would be nice, but just not everyone does. And if you're offered a 300k contract to live in London and play for Arsenal and not have that high level of standard and expectations on you, it's an easy life.
Live with the stress that the fans and the media gives you, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot
the
of
media,
right
the
there.
Media gives him a lot of stick.
And Arsenal the fans give him a lot of
Arsenal
stick.
Fans like Ozil. They
so
do.
What you're calling him is an elite Kieran Gibbs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But we actually want him to stay.
Yeah. I'm indifferent. But, yeah.
Anyway, so Arsenal, yes, it's on Ozil, he did score a really good goal. He anticipated where the ball would land really well. You kind of could see that in the clips. His finish was very smooth. A goal that, I mean, on the run of play, Arsenal did kind of deserve to win this game, but it was, again, boring, bland. The Newcastle are a horrendous team in a horrendous run of form. And Arsenal couldn't even break them down. I don't think, bar that, the keeper had to make another save.
Uh-huh. Thank you for finally pointing out the Newcastle are a horrendous team. Hey, you know what? That's also harsh because I was actually saying they were not bad until they collapsed every
game.
To
be fair, at the beginning of the season, they were fourth. They looked okay.
Yeah.
This is their first weekend in the relegation zone.
Before we move on, a few things Alex has down here that I want to ask him. Petr Cech has now kept 199 Premier League clean sheets, like 198 were with Chelsea, obviously.
I'm assuming.
Yeah. But, Alex, you have a question here. Is Xhaka Arsenal's worst ever signing?
I'd like to chime in on this one.
Please.
I think there have been worse signings on the wavelength of Christopher Ray.
No, that's nonsense. Christopher Ray was like a rarely used substitute who actually scored when he played.
It's
and
the expectation,
won a
right? It's the 35 million, the expectation.
Okay.
It's
okay. Go around the table. Luis,
Xhaka.
I got two.
The problem is Xhaka. It's not his fault. It's just it's not what we needed. Not even close to what we needed.
Yeah.
So
it
why?
His fault.
What,
it's
it isn't
bad.
His fault.
I'm gonna give you Arshavin.
No.
I think Arshavin today to play on that left side.
Okay, fine. Then I'll give you Jovinho.
Fine.
Take it back.
That's a strong shot.
Jovinho's
a strong shot.
Yeah.
Shamak would be up there if he wasn't free.
He had a good. No, but again, not important enough, not crucial.
Yeah, and he was also like free. He was a youngster and he had a few good
seasons. I think
Xhaka's
up there. Xhaka's actually up there.
He's actually up there.
Now, unfortunately,
I mean, Petr Cech is also up there.
Lucas Perry is up.
Pascal Zidane
didn't play enough.
Unfortunately, you have Pep managing this Arsenal side, and Xhaka all of a sudden looks like he's a world beater.
Philippe Senderos.
No, Pep would sell
Sylvester.
Him.
Sylvester.
Pep would sell that.
Sylvester's up there.
Sylvester's up
because
he was.
But again,
Skulachi,
Price.
What are you talking about?
Guys, yes. Price.
Forget defenders.
This
for
is one of the most expensive players we've ever bought.
Yeah.
Arteta
was great.
Arteta was fantastic for us.
Oh, sorry.
Anyways, let's move on.
3 years, mate.
Chelsea beat Southampton 1-0. This one, again, was dicey.
So it's okay if they win 1-0, but not if Arsenal wins 1-0.
Chelsea are on a run of good where they've won like 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6.
You're allowed to have blips in form when you've won things in recent memory. You've actually looked good. You're not supposed to just beat everybody all the time. It's when this is the norm. This is not the norm. Right,
I mean,
Chelsea are going through a slight dip in form. They drew to West Ham, I believe, or lost to
West Ham.
And they just beat Southampton 1-0, who, by the way, drew with Arsenal. So if you want to take it relatively, you know.
Sure.
Alonso's free kick, but what's his name? His
Fraser
horrendous.
Forster needs to switch sports. What's something like a really... not basketball, because he's not agile enough, but something else.
Him or Joe Hart? Who's worse?
Joe Hart's worse.
Man, he's still good.
Catastrophically worse. No doubt about it. Forster is bad. And I think he's number two for England, so there you go.
Right.
I think it's Butler. He's in the mix.
Now that Everton are doing well, Butler looks good again, doesn't he? Oh,
Pickford.
Butler is Stoke.
Willian is starting to play slightly more for Chelsea. He's starting to look a bit better recently. He's been influential in the recent games. Morata has been out, so they did. You know, he's playing Hazard as a false nine. He was. I think he's back next game.
He's fatigued.
Yeah. Mm. Hazard is playing false nine again. He's not really stepping it up big time either this season.
Sorry, can I just say I don't like Conte this season. I think he's complaining way too much
about the squad.
About the not well, his squad, of course. But he went on a rant about the fixture list, and then someone put the Arsenal fixture list next to it, and talking about games after Champions League and when you play or something like that, and it was actually worse for Arsenal than it was for him.
It's
like
a conspiracy against everyone.
Yeah, but Conte has been literally bitching since the first minute of the season, and I think it translates to his team, and I don't think they have the same belief that they possibly had last season.
I don't disagree. You know who also has absolutely no belief?
Who?
Michy Batshuayi. Yes. He can't get a game. Like, he needs to leave. This is just getting silly.
Yeah, this Batshuayi experiment for Chelsea, we all knew he was just going to get in there until the actual striker came and showed up, and which was Morata. And you know what? We've expected what we've expected from him. However, Chelsea are third by 3 points.
Yes, no, not
four,
sure,
I think. Sure. Anyway, they're
doing well.
Yeah, they're actually on a run of form that would be title challenging form if not for Manchester City's ridiculous.
Basically, everything this season would have been, if not for, you know, United, City.
Well, what are we talking about? This Chelsea is the same form. Chelsea that won 13 on the spin last season. They set the record that Man City just broke. They're not in any type of league-winning form whatsoever.
No.
What are we talking about?
Also,
no, but
they have not shown any type of any form of consistency.
They have. I think at the beginning of the season we did say that Chelsea were going to be the team that drops most from their standard because Spurs kind of were growing. United, you know, couldn't have done worse. And I think, forget Arsenal, Liverpool were going to improve. I think Chelsea were the ones that were in danger of possibly dropping out of a top four spot.
Especially with the transfers they made.
Yeah.
Where is Kante falling in all of this? Because we knew that Kante was instrumental in them winning the league last season. How is he doing this
season? Well, Bakayoko's outdoing anything good that Kante's doing. He had a good game this game. Mm-hmm. But for the last couple of games, the fans have been getting on Bakayoko's back. He's not been good. He's looked, well, I mean, like a flop signing so far in the last couple of games.
Way to not answer Roche's question.
Well, he said, how's Kante doing? I said, Bakayoko's out doing all the good stuff that he's
okay,
doing.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah. That pretty much answered it.
He's playing for two.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've Bernie, you said this before, but Chelsea have looked this season without Kante kind of hopeless. And with him.
Yes.
Like the team that they were last season.
So. By the way, Roche pointed out that they have 8 wins in 10, which is fantastic.
You don't feel it.
But you don't feel it also because they lost terrible games to terrible teams. So, and I said at the beginning of the season, selling Matic, Bakayoko, everyone said, oh my God, he was great at Monaco, it's a great signing, get rid of the old guy. But you had a guy who started the first 2 months injured, and you have no idea he's going to adapt to the Premier League. That was, to me, and I said it on the pod, it was not a good idea.
Here's a thought that just, you know, all this Monaco fire sale. Bernardo Silva is on the bench, can't get into the City team. Mendy is injured, and now Delph is doing just as well of a job. We're not feeling his absence.
Mm-hmm.
Bakayoko is having a horrendous season. Has any of those big fire sale Monaco players, I mean, other than Mbappe, obviously. Other than that,
no.
A lot of them have just kind of got big contracts and went, boop.
Yeah, and now Fabinho is supposed to say he's going to leave, but the market for him has completely fizzled out.
He'll get a move for sure.
Eventually. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to a few of these games quite quickly. West Ham. Killing on a great run of form, beat Stoke 3-0. I like to see Mark Hughes lose. Stoke are the team that conceded the most goals this season in the Premier League, if I'm not mistaken.
How has he not been sacked yet? How?
No idea.
He's actually horrendous.
Do you remember Stoke Alona?
Yeah.
what a movement that was in 2015.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Arnautovic scoring and celebrating against his former club. Mark Hughes was caught on Twitter cussing him out as he was being subbed off.
Like he was cussing. People on Twitter caught it.
Yeah, people
he
on Twitter.
He wasn't on Twitter, like, tweeting.
No. People on Twitter. Twitter.
He should quit.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Lanzini dive for the penalty was amazing. But
was it better than Mahana's dive in 2015?
Yes, it was.
Don't remember it.
No idea what you're going on.
There was no VAR at the time.
Moyes said on the dive, Lanzini ran about 70 yards, so I think he went over with fatigue rather than a dive. That might be the worst excuse I've ever heard.
That might be the worst indictment, saying, yeah, he dove. But, you know, Leicester, again, you can't. This is why predictions and betting is so difficult. Leicester looked fantastic for a couple of games.
Mahrez
is back in form. Okazaki is scoring goals left, right, and center. Yep. Blah, 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 blah. Indeed, he's killing it.
Sent off on his birthday.
Yep. He just wanted to go home, celebrate early. Crystal Palace look like a serious team again. Sorry, Rishay. In this game, in the form table, it's 9th versus 4th. Mm-hmm. They're actually both quite on form. Zaha looks...
He's
so good.
He is.
He's so good.
They're carrying Benteke. This is all while carrying your striker. Like, he's not even that good.
Score this week.
By the way, the great thing about this result is, and I saw Alex said here, Hodgson and Moyes doing madnesses, right? The beautiful thing about this result is West Ham tried Slaven Bilic.
Yes.
Palace tried Frank de Boer or Ronald, whichever one. Don't remember. Frank, I think it was. And what's the other team that was trash and is not doing well? Oh, Everton did the Koeman thing. Everyone wanted new foreign ideas in the Premier League, and it was a fallacy that they were not doing it. The Premier League did it. It did not work, and they brought these old gits back, and look at what is happening.
We're back in
Brexit, people. Yeah. Brexit. I'm all for it.
3 months in, we've got Allardyce back. We've got Moyes back. We've got Alan Pardew back.
Well.
Disclaimer, we're not all for Brexit over here.
What?
Obviously.
But, speak to yours.
Pulis got sacked. He's the honcho. He's the big...
When he comes back to Stoke, you're going to see them resurge again.
Yeah. You know, surprisingly, Harry Redknapp actually defended Slaven Bilic.
Why?
Someone was talking about how Moyes has got... I think it's probably like on TalkSport or some shit. They were talking about how Moyes has got West Ham playing like fitter and running more. And Redknapp was just like, "You can't tell me that you can get them fit in 1 week or 2 weeks. And you get like, I don't make no sense."
Was he leaning out of a car window?
I can see his pink face right now. Just want to quickly point out, Crystal Palace's goals were absolutely beautiful.
They were
all of them.
Agreed.
Yeah,
100%.
And we can move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very quickly, Watford is on a beautiful slump since the cojones. I love it. Deeney got a red card.
Yeah.
Richarlison can't do a step over. Decore just forgot how to play football.
Incorrect. Mm. They slumped, came back up.
And
then
slumped again?
Sam went at Silva. Silva came back with a barb, and then they went back.
Barb? That's twice we've said barb in 30 minutes.
Quick comment. I just want to say that all the mongrels at Huddersfield were having a field day eating pie watching this game.
Okay, wow. Great analysis.
Unprovoked assault
on an entire shire, if you put it that way.
Brighton, Burnley, 0-0. I mean, if there was going to be a 0-0 game, it was going to be this one.
No one watched this game, so no one noticed.
Let's keep moving. Swansea, Everton. Everton, Rooney, and Everton are just resurgent.
Ziggy, ziggy.
I put him back in my fantasy team, and he's done well, except for missing his penalty.
Wayne Rooney, same amount of goals as Romelu Lukaku.
No.
Enjoy it.
This is why stats mess with your brain.
He looked at me and he smirked. I wanted to punch him.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Your arms are long, but they're not that long.
Stat, Rooney, second most goals in Premier League, third most assists in Premier League history.
Ever?
Ever.
He's a complete player. I mean, he's one that can do a lot of things.
Should have seen him knocking the ball left to right like Kevin De Bruyne was.
When you said do a lot of things, were you talking about things outside of his marriage?
Yeah.
I be Momo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
Alright, so welcome to Mumu of the Week. And for those listeners who are unaware, a Mumu is a fool, an idiot, and we focus on those fools and idiots off the pitch of football. And this week's off the pitch Mumu I'm gonna start with is none other than Antoine Griezmann.
Why? What did he do?
Undisputed.
Like, when we talk about off the pitch, we're talking about a different sport altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he has set the bar very, very high for Mumu, I think. I think this might be the year's worst.
Especially for a short man.
Yeah. So, he went for a Christmas party, which was an 80s-themed party. Which, I don't know why you do that for Christmas anyway. So, whoever invented that is a Mumu, first off.
Yeah.
But he decided to honor his second favorite sport of basketball. And his favorite... entertainment group, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wonderful team.
Yeah, so he found a jersey, put that on, cool. Shorts, put it on, cool. Shoes, all good. Even wore a wig, like an Afro wig. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But then he decided to jump into a pool of black paint and come out like he looked like, you ever seen those Sparta Pete's in the Dutch people that throw candy at you?
Yeah, yeah.
And he posts this on Twitter saying, look at me, I went to an 80s party.
And this was his whole body. This was legs, arms, everything. Face.
Oh, he committed to this.
Yeah, he paid big bucks for that one.
I don't really understand how you can get to 26, 27 years old and still be that stupid. Or not have anyone around you. Not one person around you saying, Antoine, nah.
You know what? It really hit a chord when he said 26, 27. I still think of football players as older.
Yeah.
And sure. Then now you went, how at 20? I'm like, oh, man, I feel old.
No, I understand.
Yeah. The best part about this is how Twitter went at him.
He apologized. Apparently, he did that whole like, oh, but I really like them.
Well, his first thing was literally use the words, calm down. This is a tribute to one of my favorite teams. Right. And people went in on that. Then he took it down and apologized. But Twitter went off and they posted a picture of the French national team. Black people. And then they superimposed Griezmann's blackface face on his face.
He's just trying to fit in. People were saying he's trying to fit into the French national team. He's trying to get a move to Chelsea. There's a lot of rumors. Alex, you got our second memo.
Yeah. The Everton official account tweeted a picture of Wayne Rooney recently. Fairly innocuous, except that instead of tagging Wayne Rooney in it, they tagged Little Wayne. Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. That is funny.
That's glorious. Imagine you're Lil Wayne. You wake up, right? You get this text. Or you get the notification, and someone's tagged you in this picture of this fat, weird white man, like hugging someone else, and you're just like, what is going on?
My theory is the girl that he cheated with, what's his face, took over the social media account, and that's what she was calling his.
Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
I like that. I would never have went that far, but
no,
that's good.
I had no idea where
that's good. Was Wayne that. Rooney
was
and Lil Wayne.
Was it Natasha Giggs?
Hey.
Abimomo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Last week's Mumu of the Week featured Inter Milan and Inter Bells. Fortunately, it came up again this week as they lost 3-1 to Udinese. Roche, you are kind of angry about this.
I fucking hate Inter.
Why?
It's the worst song ever. It's the worst media campaign ever. Yeah. The entire marketing team should be run over by wildebeest.
The alarm bells are ringing at Inter, that's for sure.
Something's ringing.
Yeah.
Fans were actually given Santa hats at the game and invited to join in the singing of Inter bells at halftime.
I didn't know Inter were so Christmassy.
Inter bells, Inter bells, Nerazzurri.
I'm still a wildebeest. I'm sorry.
So Udinese spiced up the league a little bit.
We can see it backfired and made Inter lose promptly.
Yeah.
Which is great. Hopefully they eliminate this campaign.
This was thoroughly unexpected. Inter Milan were top of the league, I think, at the start of the weekend. Were at home, went 1-0 down, brought it back to 1-1. At halftime, everyone's like, all right, we've got this. Let's sing Inter bells. Everything will be cool in the second half. And then Udinese scored another two.
Unbelievable.
Great.
Well, this is why Serie A is probably the most exciting league this season, I think. Between first and fourth is only separated by 4 points. It's very tight. And the reason it's tight is because a lot of teams lose randomly. So there's no, like, this one team that is dominating, not even Juve.
But you know that, and we'll get to them, but you know that this is what we all said was going to happen.
Yes.
It's just later than usual. Everyone's going to mess up, and the Juve machine is going to start.
I don't know.
And then you know they're going to win the league again.
To be fair, Juve have been... All right, let's talk about Juve now. They are on very good form. I will just say it, Napoli are top.
So. Matches them, yeah.
Yeah. But Juve, 3-0 away to Bologna. This was pretty easy. Pjanic just absolutely bossed it.
Great
including
free kick.
A wonderful free kick. His 14th in Serie A. That is good.
Yeah.
That is very, very good.
Sucks for Roma. I just do want to add that Chiellini, apparently, I learned this today, has a degree in math.
Yeah.
And he has a master's degree. He's doing it in an MBA right now, yeah.
I think he got that last year, the degree in math, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got some degree last year.
Yeah.
I don't know what
it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Roma beat Cagliari 1-0.
Cagliari.
Yeah, whatever. Dzeko kind of, I first thought he dove, and then VAR came in and showed it was a penalty. Then they missed it. Perotti missed it, which doesn't happen often. But then they did manage to still...
Sorry, I love the way they do the... When they go into VAR, they make the TV, like the...
That's
the
a good sign.
Symbol. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, it's nice.
It's very square. It's very strong. Napoli didn't miss a chance to go top by beating Torino 3-1.
Marek Hamsik, same amount of goals as Diego Maradona. That's lovely.
That is lovely. I mean, it's because he's kind of there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's a better role model?
That's a good point.
Hamsik just.
Just, yeah.
Because we know about Maradona's future.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we can't rule out cocaine from Hamsik's future. So.
No.
Probably selling it to the ultras.
Wow. Allegedly.
Very allegedly at this point.
All right.
AC Milan, though. They're just having a laugh at this point.
Oh, Gattuso is going to come in and like give everyone a kick up the bum. And
the problem is, yes, I know sometimes you can try and predict things and they don't go your way. Like, you know, the Moyes and the some other stuff. But this one just feels like it was a obvious.
Oh, of course.
Like, it was like, why? What was the idea behind this?
I want to see Gattuso fight a rhino.
Yeah, I'd pay for that.
And be like trampled. Tackle a rhino.
And be absolutely trampled.
I would much rather see that than watch AC Milan in Serie A.
It's like terrible. Yes, it's like when people hired Roberto Carlos as manager for stuff. Why?
That actually happened.
Turkey. Yes. Turkey. Like,
and Russia. Then he wasn't like Zenit or something? Or the team Eto played for like 15 million?
Oh, Angie Mashkashkala.
Something.
Well, they're so bad that now you fear that no one's actually going to want to take that job.
This is the thing. Not only are they going to finish like mid-table, they're also going bankrupt. They can't sort out.
So they're going to become extinct.
Yeah. So like, you're right. I don't know who's going to take that job. They might be forced to stick with
Dino Baggio.
Dino Baggio.
Extinction. Dino.
Dino Rossi. Dino.
That's where that came from.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, to emphasize the extent to which this was a horrendous loss, Verona had only won 2 games all season. They were second bottom, and they lost both their strikers to injury before half an hour.
So they've lost, they've conceded points to the bottom and now second bottom.
Yeah. Speaking of bottom, Rishay, how's Benevento doing?
The exact opposite of Man City.
You're going with that.
So comparing records, I actually looked at some tables this weekend, and that's what I like to do in my free time.
Yeah. That's what you do for your work. You just look at tables.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Data analysis is Rishay's thing.
Yeah. So I just like to do that because it's zen for me.
Right.
But Benevento are the exact opposite of City. But they both have one draw. City have all the wins. Benevento have all the losses.
That's a yin and yang.
It really is.
Yeah.
They have 1 point in 17 matches.
I mean, you were really upset when they got that point.
I was. But it was against AC Milan with a flying, diving header by like a goalkeeper.
You can't be mad at that.
Just for the listeners, I don't think they realize that. We get daily updates on Benevento from Rishay. Like, we will be talking about United and City and Arsenal, and he'll go, guys, Benevento is losing again.
But he's got me into it, because now I check the Benevento result first when I look at Serie A scores. I really do.
This is why they're gaining popularity.
Yes, because they're so bad.
So you are their marketing campaign.
They themselves are doing well.
Arguably, like, for their global, better than Inter. For their global reputation, they really shouldn't win.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is the cheapest way to get global recognition.
That is true.
Yeah. Napoli.
I think that's the plan. Better than Inter's marketing campaign. Stupid Inter bells crap.
Okay.
Rubbish. Fire them all.
Napoli on top with 42, Juve 41, Rome, Inter 40, and Roma 38. Very, very close up there. Again, we do this every week. If you're looking for something extra to watch,
who do you want to win?
I want Roma, but it's not going to happen.
I want Napoli.
Thus Napoli.
I'm happy with Napoli.
I'll go with Napoli.
Happy with Napoli. You said that quite snappily.
Happily with Napoli.
Spain. All right. Spain. Atleti, I heard this recently, and someone was talking, I think it was on Ars blog, someone was talking about perception in football.
Mm-hmm.
And if we talked about Atleti, everyone would say they're having a horrendous season. They're unbeaten. A lot of draws, yes. But to put that in perspective, they're unbeaten. I would have said they definitely lost 4 or 5 games at least. They're unbeaten.
That's a bit much.
I just felt like there's this doom and gloom around the Atleti this season, etc., etc. They beat Alaves 1-0 this weekend as well. They're still kind of keeping the pressure slightly on top of the table, especially with Valencia's loss to Eibar, which was, like Alex said in the beautiful intro that he writes, a bottle job.
Absolute bottle job. The games that Valencia have lost this season have been so annoying. I can't remember who the last one was, but it was a game they shouldn't lose, anyway, to say the least. And now Eibar, like, I know Eibar aren't horrendous, but come on. If you're challenging for the league, Eibar, good.
Yeah.
I'd buy it.
Well done.
Won't even definitely buy it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, Amaro would stop.
I would sign Eider Gudjonsson if I were them.
Eider Gudjonsson.
Good. Eibar Eider.
Nice. Not bad. Nice.
Anyway, sorry. One thing on Atleti, on your perception thing, right? They're not doing so bad. United played 25 games last season and did not lose, and everyone said, "Oh, it's draws!" So funny.
Yeah, sure.
It's the same thing.
Okay,
it's not about perception; it's trash.
Right, but again, they haven't lost. Like, I just didn't know that. Like, if you said Atleti are unbeaten, I was surprised when I heard.
They're tough to beat. Everyone,
that's they are tough to beat. Yeah, Torres scoring the goal.
So that was a good goal.
Yeah, it was a good goal. Not bad. Barcelona beat Deport 4-0. Suarez slowly started to be a bit more useful again recently.
He's
ramping up a little bit. He scored 2 goals. Paulinho's been really good for them recently as well.
Which is quite funny. Sorry, just that when Suarez was in his bad form, Bernie was enjoying it, and in, also enjoying the thought that he might just be done.
Yes, I really was.
To be fair, it's not he's not over the hump yet. He still might be done. To be fair, he doesn't look good doing it. Messi missed the penalty. He's not that good at penalties.
I'm sorry. Messi, he didn't miss.
It was a
he
good save.
He was denied by everything in life. He was presented with the golden boot, showed it off to the fans, and then somehow could not manufacture a goal at all. It was unbelievable.
The keeper made a brilliant save, yes. But other than the penalty, Messi had a really bad game. He had a lot of chances where he could have scored goals that you expect. Times. We expect Messi to just slot them in. A few Paulinho's of them went really wide.
Paulinho's goal was off Messi's bar.
Yeah.
He
hit the bar three times himself. One was a free kick.
The free kick was beautiful.
What's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
I actually think he would increase his chances of scoring penalties if he set up a couple of cones like to the right of the ball,
right.
Jinked in from the right-hand side, dodged the cone, and then slotted it in. Yeah.
Right, just have the Messi run towards the ball. Why is this here, Alex? Explain.
Las Palmas are having an absolutely tragic season. I was reading the Sid.
The Benevento of La Liga?
Something like
that. Oh, you made a point previously about Griezmann.
Yes. Tell us.
And then you went to Las Palmas. I had a Griezmann retort. So.
Tell us.
Well, Alex wrote here, Guillermo Amor pretty well confirmed they have been meeting with Antoine Griezmann in Barcelona.
That's to replace Suarez or to you think to play wide?
Well, to replace Suarez racism, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
That was my retort. We can move on.
That was good. I'm sorry you didn't get the kind of...
Yeah, the build-up. Waiting for the build-up. Very Barcelona-esque, but you messed that up.
Yeah. Well, very Manchester United. Lukaku waiting for it.
But there is no build-up.
No build-up.
There you go. Yeah.
No build-up. Just hoof it up to the big guy.
But yeah, Las Palmas having a horrendous season. We're 2-0 down to Espanyol. Quique Sanchez Flores is Espanyol, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
They came back.
Mm-hmm.
2-2.
Loic Remy.
Loic Remy, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a penalty in the 95th minute. And they missed it.
No.
Absolutely tragic.
Yeah. You know what? At that point, they would have taken the point. But yeah, before that, they'd be like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
We're killing it.
Is Kevin Prince Boateng still there?
I don't think so.
That's a good question. That's the only connection I have to Las Palmas in life.
Now you have Loic Remy.
I think he left.
That's true. Oh, Loic Remy. Remember when it was a goal of the season winner? Blah, blah, blah.
Chelsea had so many strikers.
You guys remember when we made that video?
Yeah.
That compilation of goal of the season?
I want to make another one. That was a lot of
that
fun.
That was a lot of fun. Arguing about the order was fun.
A lot of videos I had to find illegally.
Yes. Sure. I mean, we weren't there to film it ourselves. There we
go. Under the cross bells. I stated that for the record.
Yes. Real Madrid are away at the Club World Cup, which they won very, very, very scrapily, if that's even a word.
No, it's not.
They were losing 1-0 to the Al Jazeera side, who had like Superman in goal for a while. Then they only beat...
When you're from the Middle East, you can pay whoever you want.
That's true. Yeah, they gave him a passport. Gremio, they only beat them 1-0 in the final.
It was a free kick, I think. Not even. Like,
yeah, this was dicey for a while.
It wasn't even like open play or anything.
No.
Well, but they would have scrapped the competition if Gremio ended up winning it, to be fair.
True.
Sorry, I read a headline.
Read the highlight. That would be a superpower.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But I read a headline saying Ronaldo's Madrid beginning to stir. I thought 2-1 Al Jazeera.
No, 1-0
Gremio.
They misspelled it. They meant stutter. They misspelled it.
The reporter had been waiting for weeks to send that article.
Yeah, he just had, like, he was there. He's like, you know what? They won a game. Here you go.
Yeah. That said, it does add to, you know, Zidane's 97 trophies in like 3 years.
That's true.
Good for
him. And that's just as a manager.
Real and City. I want to see that.
So there is...
Ooh. Real and City.
Well, we get Real against PSG in the Champions League. That's going to be sick.
We do. We also get the Clásico on Saturday, which is at 7 a.m. Eastern time.
Really?
Mm.
That is so... That's early here. That's really early for Spanish people.
Well, it's for China. It's 7 p.m. in China.
What, 7 p.m. and on 7 a.m. and on beIN Sport? Oh, my God.
What's that, like a 1 o'clock kickoff in Spain? 12 or 1?
Yeah, 12, 12 or 1.
Siesta. It's siesta, not
salsa. Salsa. Yes. Yes. But you know what? If it helps with the revenues, what are you going to do? That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Anything? So Champions League midweek.
Should we predict the El Clásico?
Sure.
Because people are saying that Barcelona, well, they are unbeaten, and then but there are still two Clásicos, and they're not playing well, and Real Madrid have a chance, whatever.
All right, let's go.
Roche.
All right. Well, Madrid absolutely smashed Barcelona 5-2 on aggregate before the season started. So I'm going to go with Madrid.
Score.
Where are they playing?
Okay. Keep talking while I find out.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you, what's his face? Who's the guy with a nice left foot? Asensio. If Asensio just hits one.
That's pretty accurate. That guy with a nice left foot is pretty accurate, to be fair.
Yeah, if he just hits one and he scores, it's going to be 1-0 or 2-1 or 3-2.
This is an astonishing prediction.
The game is in the Bernabeu.
Okay,
Bernabeu?
So 3-1 Madrid.
1-1.
Don't care.
Alex, you have to make a prediction.
Why do you love... You guys love to not care about Clasicos, not care about Messi, Ronaldo. Like, what else is giving you joy?
Alex,
other games. I just don't
Who,
care.
Who, Alex Iwobi?
I'm not invested in it. I don't
But
I
do
don't
you
care. Want
to read the book about the 18 days of the Clasico?
What?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Sure. So predict the score, damn it.
0-0.
Wow.
0-0.
If it does happen, right, you know,
give us some enthusiasm.
I'm going to go with a very feisty 2-2 draw with a Sergio Ramos red card.
I think that's a great idea.
I'd be happy with a Sergio Ramos.
Sergio Ramos red card is what you should bet on every day.
Maybe we should just do that. A little bit of money on a Ramos red card every week.
Yes.
Instead of Bitcoin?
We'll never need another
Instead
commercial.
Instead of Bitcoin. Yes. That because, you know, some investments are guaranteed investments.
Yeah.
That Sergio Ramos red card is one of
them. He will get a red card at some point in the future.
All right. So, Champions League midweek, yada, yada. We don't... See, again, we talk about this, the... Is it Champions League midweek?
No. Carabao.
Oh, Carabao midweek. Same thing.
Something else I don't care about.
Yay.
Alex is waiting for that one.
And on that note...
We should go.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Wait. What's our schedule during the winter? Are you guys here next Saturday? Next Monday? We're not here for a few weeks.
I'm
so
in Texas.
I'm in Dubai. So let's look at the calendar here really quickly to tell people when we're back. So we're not doing it on Monday the 25th. We're not doing it on the 1st. So I guess next time we're back is on
We're literally doing admin on the pod.
No,
this is great.
Just tell people, on the 8th of January we'll be back.
Maybe we'll just release Alex's voice every week.
I might put something together, we'll see.
And then we will have our Christmas Christmas Mumu present for everyone.
Oh, we will? Excellent, yeah. I love that.
We'll
it's
actually
so
have,
good.
Great,
have
it's on record.
Articles as well.
Oh yeah, sure. But in terms of podcast, it looks like the next serious one will be on January 8th, so... Until then, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, be safe.
All the things.
And we will see you then.
Peace. Don't drink and drive.
Anything else? Don't slip and
make
fall.
Make America great again.
Enjoy the time off.
Enjoy Brexit. Legalized cannabis.
Be happy.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Interbell.
No woman, no cry. What else?
I'm going to put Interbells on right now.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com. Interves, interves,